Sounds like somebody might want to go that way this morning. It's good to see everybody. Good morning. God is good. And all the time, God is good. You know, when you think about how really good God is, you can't help but say thank you, Lord, sometimes, and praise the Lord sometimes. You ought to just be happy that God has allowed us to be here once again to come out and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. God is good. This morning we're going to speak from a subject, the unspeakable gift of God, which was read for your hearing from the 9th chapter and the 15th verse of 2 Corinthians. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And that's what we want to talk about, the unspeakable gift of God. But before we go any further, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, blessings have been restored upon us once again, the blessing of waking up from our sleeping and our slumbering on last night, the blessing of getting up upon resting. Thank you, Lord. The blessing of being able to come out to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord. Father, we're so grateful to be here this morning. I know that there are many who could have been here but are not here, but Lord, we just pray for them. We pray that they might be strengthened and that they may come eventually before it's everlastingly too late. We know that there are others who wish they could be here but can't be here, and we just pray for them, those who are sick, shut in, those who are working, and those who for unknown circumstances may not be here. We pray, Father, that they might find it in their heart, that You might soften their stance and get them here for the next appointed time. Father, we thank You for our leadership here. We thank You for our brotherhood here. We thank You for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. And we thank You, O Heavenly Father. We pray for those who have traveled great distances to be here this morning. Yes, sir. We pray for those who are still traveling great distances to be wherever they are going to be at, O Lord. Yes, sir. Thank You, Father, for those who still might be on their way, that they might find safety in getting here. Right. We pray for those who are traveling on the highways, the byways, and the seaways, O Lord. Thank You for blessing them to have safe passage, traveling grace, and arriving mercy, Father. This morning, Father, we thank You for those who are here in attendance, and we pray that we might be strengthened by a message from Your word this morning. Thank You, O Lord. Father, we pray for those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. We thank You and we pray, O Heavenly Father. It seems to be a way of life around here that we are losing our young people in great numbers. And we just pray, O Heavenly Father, that You step in and put a stop to this violence that's in this city, O Lord. Father, we thank You for all You do for us. And we're praying that You continue to bless us because You sent Your Son to us. And we thank You for Him. And we're going to speak on Him in a few minutes, Lord. I pray for wisdom and courage to carry out Your message this morning, O Lord. Father, thank You for everything. And I pray for those service people who are standing guard all around the world, that if it be Your will, Lord, You send them all home soon, and that they may all come home in one piece, if it be Your will, O Lord. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for everything, and especially for Your Son, Jesus. Now, my Heavenly Father, go with us and watch over and keep us, O Heavenly Father, as we go into the study of Thy Word. These blessings and all other blessings we ask in the dear name of Your darling Son, Jesus. Let us all say amen. Have you ever stopped and thought about how good God is? I mean, have you really considered how great of a giver He is? He gives us life. He gives us food. He gives us air. He gives us water and many other good things. But his greatest gift of all to us was his son, Jesus Christ. This gift was and is the greatest one of the is and was the greatest gift of all. One of the greatest voices in the New Testament calls it the unspeakable gift. If I were to look around, if one were to look around, he would see God's handiwork. Look up and you see the magnificent sky that holds the sun, the moon, and the stars. Look down and we would see the beauty of the grass, the plants, and the flowers. Look around and we see his creations all around us. Still, out of all of that, the greatest gift of all is his darling son, which is called the unspeakable gift. So we want to talk about the unspeakable gift of God. Unspeakable wisdom planned it. The great and unspeakable gift that's spoken of in the text was none other than, was not an afterthought by God. Notice the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15 again. It says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, a gift we all have reason to be thankful for. He planned his gift to us long before the world was. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. God's plan was made before the world was. We were predestined in due time to become God's adopted children. Our gift was spoken of in the Old Testament in Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 10. Go with me to Isaiah 53, if you will.
He is despised.
He is despised.
And rejected of men.
And rejected of men.
A man of sorrow.
A man of sorrow.
And acquainted with grief.
And acquainted with grief.
And he hid.
And he hid.
And we hid.
As it were, our faces.
From him. He was despised. And we esteemed him not.
Surely. Listen to this one, church.
Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Continue on.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
I believe verse number 6 described the way the world was back then, but it also describes the way the world is today.
Yes, sir.
Verse 7.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth.
This is what Jesus did for us, church.
Yes, sir. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken.
Continue on. Go through verse 10.
And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering of sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his land.
Now here we have Isaiah speaking of the future, but it was in the Old Testament. He was speaking of the coming of God's gift to man.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, it is better than a movie script. If this was a movie script, it would be a big movie, a smash movie. But it's not a movie script, so it is all truth.
Yes, sir.
No big name actors, no high priced movie sets, only planned and brought forth by God himself. This gift was spoken of in and through God's infinite wisdom.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah didn't even know Jesus back then, but this he was speaking of him in future tense, but in the past.
Yes, sir.
Now tell me, God doesn't know what he's doing.
Come on, preacher.
God is all right. He brought this unspeakable gift down here to earth to hang, bleed, and die. And Isaiah was reading. I was talking about the reading we just did, was speaking of Jesus for us, for those people back then, and for us to see for our learning.
Yes, sir.
Unspeakable grace proposed it to us,
yes,
for
sir.
Us. Man did not have any merit which caused God to send Jesus into the world.
Yes, sir.
To die, it was love that caused God to send Jesus. John 3:16. Oh, you all know that because you learned this from a child, most of us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Mm-hmm. We need to understand something, that man did not deserve to die. Jesus did not deserve to die, but God's love toward man, he decided to save us.
Yes, sir.
When God looked us over, and I want you to watch this in Psalms 53, verses 2 and 3. The Bible says, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Look at verse number 2. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that death that doeth good. No, not one. God looked down and looked at man, and he didn't see anybody that was worthy of serving him, of worthy of praising his name. God saw mankind, searched mankind to find out if we understood and seek God. He didn't find no, not one. He knew mankind was in trouble, and yet we did not seek God. This was in yesteryear, but if we looked at us over at us today, I shudder to think what he might find. Have you ever considered if God would look down upon us today, what he might find? I do. I wonder about that. He would find men who are gone in their own direction, men who have left the Word of God, if they ever did come to the Word of God. He would find that they had left the Word of God. He would find them that are not able to understand God's true meaning. They're not able to accept the unspeakable gift that God has presented to us. Do you know how much pain and suffering Jesus went through to become the unspeakable gift? And when I use the word unspeakable, I don't mean that we shouldn't talk about him, because we should talk about him. But maybe a better word is
undescribable.
Describable is what, thank you, Brother Miles. Undescribable is what I should use. He is indescribable or undescribable. He is our God. He is alive. He is the one that we serve and the one that we seek. God knew that mankind was in trouble, and yet he did not seek God. So when I think about it, I wonder if this same description can be found for us today in Isaiah 64 and verse number 6. Go over with me to Isaiah 64 and verse number 6. Isaiah 64 and verse number 6 said,
"But we all
are as
an unclean thing."
Go ahead.
"And all our righteousness are as filthy rags."
Go ahead.
"And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away."
If he looked down upon us today, I believe we would fit that description quite well. We're unclean things and we're like filthy rags.
Yes.
Our iniquities are driven, iniquities are like the wind, have taken us away.
Yes,
some
sir.
Of us are so easily swayed by the gentleness of a wind that blow. If the blows in the left is the right way, then we would fall and go to the right, which is the wrong way. Some Christians have become like the world, and I hate to say that, but it's true. Some Christians have become like the world. We are looking for a way to disobey God.
Come on, preacher.
We are trying to find a way that to say that God didn't really mean that when he said that. Well, why did he say it if he didn't mean it? Mm-hmm. I think that everything that's in God's word is meant from the heart of God. God is looking at us from above, and if you're not ready to face a burning hell, then the time is now for you to get right with God and his unspeakable gift to us. I don't know about you, but when we talk about gifts, now I like to receive gifts, and I appreciate each and every gift that anybody gives me. And everyone that I received a gift from, I want them to know that I appreciate this. And this is why I love the Lord, because the gift he gave us is the gift that keeps on giving.
Come on, preacher.
It gave us life this morning.
Uh-huh.
It woke us up this morning.
Uh-huh.
It gave us health this morning. And it offers us extended life that we might live, if we live right.
Mm-hmm.
Eternal life, I should say, if we live right. Its cost was an unspeakable price.
Yes, sir.
The unspeakable gift of God, as stated in our text, can be described as a gift that's indescribable.
Mm-hmm.
So wonderful that it becomes more than we can tell.
Right, sir.
We should just keep on praising his name and giving glory and honor to him.
Mm-hmm.
Christians should never tire of talking about how wonderful God is. I know some Christians that like to say, well, I've talked about the Lord enough for a while now. I'm going to back off of it for a little while now. But you should never get tired of talking about the word of God and the gift that God gave us. Every gift has a price. It either cost us something or it cost us some form of action we must do. It cost God his only begotten son. It cost heaven the crown jewel. There was no other son to be with the Father, because God, Jesus was his only begotten son. And God, that's told to us in John 3:16 once again. Jesus was God's only begotten son, who, because we were so loved, God presented him to die for us. God gave him to us a while that it might yet, that while we were yet sinners in Romans 5:8, Jesus robed himself in human flesh, came down to earth to live and to die for us. Jesus knew his mission, what his mission was on earth. He was to be a substitute, a fill-in, if you will, for our debt, which we could never repay on our own. This is what makes this gift so unspeakable, so precious to us. Heaven's temporary loss is our everlasting gain. For it is as we can become, because of this unspeakable gift, we have become and we have salvation from sin, according to Acts 4:12. We have peace with God, according to Acts 15:33. We have the fellowship of Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians 1:9. We have blessed hope, according to Titus 2:13. When this life is over down here, we have something better to look forward to. Now, I tell you something about, a little bit about Jesus. When he came down to this earth, he came down, he was already older than people that were around him many times. He taught the scholars of his day. He taught the disciples, and he taught the disciples how to live right. He built his church for us. He said in Matthew 16:18, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I'd like to find out just where you can find another church in the Bible at. I'd like to, in the New Testament in particular, I'd like to know where all of these other denominations come from, because it's certainly not described in God's Word like the church of Christ is. And I tell you, when I think about how well built the church is, because it's built on a strong foundation, the strongest of foundation. Upon this rock, I will build my church. When this life is over down here, and we have to leave this life, we have something better to look forward to. All we need to do is be obedient to Him, follow His Word, accept His teachings, put on Christ through baptism, for He is the sweetest name we can ever call on. So I go back to the text again, and it says, thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. And when you consider how unspeakable is used there, you understand that we should never stop talking about Him, because He is the best, He is the greatest, and He is the only one that ever died for us. He is the only one that ever hung, bled on yonder's cross for us. He saved us from our iniquities. He brought life, brought new life into us. And I thank God for that. I thank God for this unspeakable gift. And when you look at it, church, you ought to be thanking Him too. You ought to say, thank you, Lord, for I couldn't have done it by myself. Thank you, Lord, for I couldn't make it on my own. Thank you, Lord, because you came here, you mounted yonder's cross, you hung, you bled, and you died on my behalf. And I thank you for it, oh Lord. I thank you that one day I'm going to have to leave this place, but that's all right, because I've got a better place to go to. You provided it for me. You said heaven is prepared for us. And I thank you, oh Lord, that you prepared heaven for us, because one day I want to be there. I don't know about you, but someday I want to get there, and I want to meet. I got some questions for some of the old pioneers of old, I should say. I want to know why you acted the way you acted. I want to ask some questions of you. I want to know why did you allow things to go the way they went with you. I want to know why you did what you did, when you did what you did. Right. I just want to know. I just got some questions for them. And that's a incentive for me to try to get to heaven. Do you need an incentive to try to get to heaven? Well, let me give you one. There'll be no more suffering and no more dying, no more pain and no more heartaches once you get there. No more bills to pay. That ought to do it for some of us. There'll be no more crying, no more tears to shed. All will be new, and everything will be all right. And just for me to get away from some of these lying folk would be good enough for me. You know the ones that promise you two chickens in every pot? First, you got to get your own pot, though. But nevertheless, I thank God that He sent us an unspeakable gift. And when I think about this unspeakable gift, I look at what Jesus has done for us. Not only did He go to the cross for us, but He gave us hope. He gave us hope that we will have a better life down up there than we do down here. You know, and when I read the paper every day, and I tell you, I read the paper every day. But I get so tired of reading about all the nastiness in the world. And then when I get through reading the paper, I watch the news on TV. And usually the first 10 or 15 minutes is about violence, isn't it? And then they'll put a story on that may warm your heart. They'll tell you about somebody who's doing something good, but they put that on after they put the bad news on. Now, you know, it's the old question. Do you want to hear the bad first or the good first? Well, I'd prefer to hear the good first, and then I can set my mind because I know the bad is coming. But see, when they tell the bad first, I don't know whether they got any good or not. So I need to be lifted up and raised up in my mind before I get to that bad stuff.
Yes, sir.
But I thank God for sending His unspeakable gift. And when that unspeakable gift has done all that we can down here on earth, I look forward to hearing, "Come, you my good and faithful servant." Then, when I consider all that life has to offer, I ask myself this question. I say, was it all worth it? Was it all worth it for you to serve God? Was it all worth it for you to get up early on Sunday morning and come out to the Lord's house? Was it worth it for you to serve God in spirit and in truth? And I say it's all worth it, because we ought to be thanking God for this unspeakable gift, this undescribable gift,
yes, sir.
This gift that just keeps on giving. And you know, we're getting into the season now that we're talking about giving. We want to give to one another. Well, check with me and I'll give you all my sizes. And you can give them unto me now. But what I'm thinking about is you ought to give to God, first of all. Give back to God because He's done so much for us. So much that I can't even describe how much God has done for us. That's why He's indescribable, because He just keeps on doing for us. You didn't have to get up this morning. You didn't have to wake up. Not only did you have to get up, but you didn't even have to wake up. I thank God that He woke me up. And I don't know how He does it. All I know is that He did it. The first thing when I opened my eyes this morning, I looked out the window. And I know that I lay right next to a window, and I can just flip the curtain a little bit and see that it's daylight out there. And I say to myself, I say, thank God for giving me a new day, the beginnings of a new day. Now, I may not make it through this day, but I got to see this day in its beginning. I may not make it all the way through this day, but thank God I made it to this day. And then I say to myself, Lord, You have been so good to me. And I'm just not worthy of it. But then I say to myself, it's You who decides my worthiness, because You know whether I'm good or You know whether I'm bad, and You know how I am, and You know what to do and what I do. And I just thank You, Lord, for blessing me this day. God is all right. And if you don't believe that He's all right, You try the opposite. And you'll see that God is all right. You know, I think I'm going to do it one day soon, one of these Sundays soon. But I want to tell you that the snake is still awake. He's still awake and He's still visiting us today. And if you're not careful, He'll grab you by your ankle.
Yeah.
And He'll trip you by grabbing you by your ankle.
Yeah.
And then when He trips you, He's gotten you. And you need somebody that you can call upon to help you get out of what He's going to try to put you into. When the snake comes forward, he rears his ugly head and he begins to get into your life. And I don't want to go too far into it because I'm going to preach about him soon. But just to give you an idea, you know, he calls Eve to commit the first sin.
Yes, sir.
And didn't he, brother, I'm on your side for a minute, brothers. Didn't God ask Adam about it, and what did Adam say to him? He said, that woman that you gave me,
it was her.
He put it all on her, but in reality it was the snake that caused it. And what I'm saying to you by saying that is that if you don't watch out, he'll make you cause us to sin too. He'll cause us great heartaches and great pain. He'll cause us to fall off the racetrack of life. We are in a race. We are running this race, and we need to stay on the track to be in the race. If you fall out off the track, you're no longer in the race, and the snake likes it when you're not in the race anymore. But I tell you, I'm so glad that God sent us an unspeakable gift. He sent us a gift that we can peg and call upon at any time. He sent us a gift that we can call out His name, that gift's name. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the wonderful counselor. Somebody said He was a wheel within a wheel. Somebody called Him the Rose of Sharon. Somebody said He's the old ship of Zion. But I tell you something about Jesus. Let me tell you just a few things, and then I'm going to take my seat. But I'm going to tell you just a couple of things about Him. He was there when the world began. He was there on the day of Pentecost when the church got its start. He was there at the crucifixion because He was a part of the crucifixion. Without Him, there would have been no crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I tell you one thing about it, and I thank God for this, that He is our gift. He is our unspeakable gift. And how do I serve this unspeakable gift? How do I become a part of this unspeakable gift? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And I know it's cold outside and nobody wants to get in the cold water, but Brother Jackson is ready to baptize you this morning, right? He'll do it. Yes, He will. And if you've already been baptized, you know, and I find that sometimes being a Christian has led many of us to fall out of the race on occasion. If you've fallen out of the race or off the track of the race, you can come back. You can be like the prodigal son and come home again. For your father is still waiting. As long as you got blood in your veins, running through your veins, God is here waiting for you. So you come back to Him by asking Him for forgiveness. Then ask the Lord, then ask the church to pray for you. And then don't forget ever to pray for yourself. Pray for yourself even before you ask us to pray for you. See, if you pray for yourself, God will gauge your sincerity in it through your prayers. So pray for yourself, then ask the church to pray for you. And don't let it be a stumbling block for you to come forward and ask the church to pray for you. There's nothing wrong. See, even everybody in the church at some time need a prayer. And everybody in the church all the time ought to have a prayer. So think about it. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
What